Well, it's wonderful to be able to come back and bring you God's word this morning. Now, I have to warn you that this word is very, very challenging. And boy, do we need challenging. Amen? Because if the church wants to be effective in our community, then we have to sharpen one another. Is that not what the Bible says? We sharpen one another. Iron sharpens iron. And as our dear sister read that passage to us in Matthew 25:30, we're going to look, before we even go to that scripture, we're going to look at the context. Everything has to have a context. Otherwise, we can hyperbolize everything. We can go out of context. So important that we have context. So what is a context to this scripture? Well, the context is all about religion. It's all about rules and regulations that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had put on God's children. Now, a lot of these Pharisees and a lot of these Sadducees were intellectuals. They were known for their intellect, a bit like the Greeks. But the way that they used that intellect was burdensome. You know, there's commentators that actually say that the Pharisees put an extra 600 additional laws on to the Jewish law. An extra 600. And some of these laws were ridiculous. Burdensome. For instance, on the Sabbath, you weren't allowed to sneeze. I think our dear sister just sneezed there. Please show her to the door. You weren't allowed to sneeze. In fact, they went further to stop you from sneezing. What they ordered you to do was to sew an handkerchief to your garment. So you couldn't sort of get down to it. Ridiculous. You know, you couldn't even sell an egg on the Shabbat, on the Sabbath. You had to do all sorts. You couldn't do the normal things that you and I do today. There were burdensome laws. And in verse 20, because the context begins at verse 20, it says, Then Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles, because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. Now, the thing is that Jesus had revealed himself in such a powerful way to these people, but they still refused to repent. And the only way into a relationship with the living God is through repentance. You can't get there in any other way. You can't get there in religious ways. You can't get there by in human ways, by stoic ways, by giving to the charities, doing good, going out and working with the homeless, or going around the world being a missionary or whatever. You can't get to God through doing good works alone. Good works are important. But there's a key to those good works. It must come with repentance. You can't go over the cross. You can't go at the sides of the cross. You can't. You've got to come through the cross. That's how you and I enter into a relationship. Not into religion, but into a personal relationship with God. They'd seen, they'd heard the word of God. They'd seen the word of God manifesting in miracles. Jesus healing the sick. Jesus healing the blind. Jesus causing the lame to walk. But they refused to repent. What sorrows awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida, for all, for if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented and of their sins long ago. Tyre and Sidon, they were Sodom, they were that was a wicked place. How much more wicked could you get than Sodom and Gomorrah? But you know, some actually believe that this world that we live in, where we are presently, is actually worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. When you look at what goes on in this world. So Jesus, in the context, Jesus is speaking to religious leaders. And in the first verse, in that chapter that our dear sister has just read to us, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Don't go to religion. Don't go to rules and regulations. Come to me. Don't go to the things of the world. You know, how many people, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, I used to do it when, you know, before I became a Christian, open their papers and look at the stars for direction. How many people go to these seances and all sorts of occultish practices for direction? Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to Jesus. Beautiful Jesus, precious Jesus, wonderful counselor. What a wonderful person Jesus is. Why wouldn't the Pharisees come to him? Why wouldn't the Sadducees come to him? They wanted to do it the Frank Sinatra way. I did it my way. Not your way, my way. Come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you. Jesus said he wants to give you and me things. He wants to give us things that will equip us for the journey, for this longevity in terms of a journey, because that's what it is. It's a long journey that we're on. It's not something we come to for 2 months or 6 months or a year. When we give our lives to Jesus, we surrender all. We surrender our lives. Have we surrendered our lives? Or is there something that we're holding back? What does surrender mean? Surrender means that's it. I give up every right that I have as a human being, mentally, emotionally, physically. My steps are now ordered by the Lord. My mouth is ordered by the Lord. My actions are ordered by the Lord. But let's say this straight away, that's tough, isn't it? That's easy to say. but it's profoundly difficult. And that's why it's a long-term commitment, because it's a process that you and I are in. Thank God, God doesn't say immediately now, I want you perfect now, because we're not perfect, are we? We're in that process of being made perfect. Jesus said, come to me. I want to lift that burden from you. He wants to lift that burden from me. What burden? The most important burden that you and I carry is sin. Jesus went to that cross. He became our substitute. Yesterday, our brother, Charlie, won't mind me mentioning it, he was a substitute for Caldecott rugby union team. And he went on as substitute. And that's what Jesus has done for me and you. He's come on in our, he's taken our place. The Bible says that we deserve the penalty of death, total separation from God. But Jesus has come on that we might have life and life to the full, which includes eternal life. Hallelujah. What a gift. Jesus has lifted that burden of sin, guilt, and shame that you and I carried before we gave it to Jesus, before Jesus took it from us. What a saviour. What a saviour you and I have. He's lifted that burden of sin. He's given you and I peace in place of that guilt and that shame. He's given you and me peace. Isaiah 26 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast, whose mind is focused on him. Is your mind focused on him today? But what about tomorrow? What about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Are you focused on the Lord? If you want to remain in peace, then let me encourage you. Keep your focus. It's so easy to lose our focus. I'm going to be quite honest with you right now. I lost my focus yesterday. So easy. In fact, when I lost this focus, I thought to myself, what the heck have I just done? And barring a miracle, I will pay the consequences of this loss of focus. Now you're all wondering, what's he done? Well, I'm not going to tell you. Actually, I'm going to a friend's house to a prayer breakfast. Can you believe it? I'm on my way to a prayer breakfast. I'm driving down the road and there's all these cars stuck at the traffic lights. There's all these cars at these traffic lights. The traffic lights, they're on red, then all of a sudden they change, and all these cars. And I'm coming up to the traffic lights, and all of a sudden it went back to red. And I'm just about familiar to that table. What did I do? I went through the red light. And when I got round the corner, I thought, what have I done? Do you know why? There's cameras. There's a massive brand new, one of those yellow things. Have you seen them? Yeah. And it's there just at the side of the road, so I'm copped. I might even be appearing before Alex in a few weeks' time. Now I'm praying, I've got 14 days before I receive that letter. Anybody ever received a letter? Oh, yeah. Oh, come on, admit, yeah, good lad, well done, honesty. If you don't receive it within 14 days, then it's squashed. Please, Lord, grace. Because it's not only a 100 quid fine. Points mean... Points mean prizes. Keep your focus. It's so weird. I knew the camera was there. That's what so annoyed me. I can't, you know, I know it's saved. Every time I go, usually when I'm in the other lane, I was turning in the opposite lane this time, but when I'm turning left, I was going right, I see it and I go, slow down, Peter, it's 20. You know? I lost my focus. So easy to keep our focus. Keep our focus on the Lord. In Psalm 91, it says, he who dwells in the shelter, that secret place of peace. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest. How many of us need to rest in the shelter of the Most High? You know, we get so busy, don't we? We get so busy. Jesus came to give us peace. I have come that you might have peace, to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know, I can only speak from a personal perspective, but when I'm in that shadow, when I'm under those wings of the Lord Almighty in my quiet times, boy, I don't have any burdens. I don't feel any burdens. They're lifted. Let me encourage you to come before the Lord and spend some quality time in his presence before you rush out of that front door into that chaos, into that administration nightmare. Spend time with the Lord. He's come to give you and I peace. In 2 Thessalonians 3:16, it says, now may the Lord of peace, the Lord of peace himself, give you peace at all times and in every way. You know, if you are at work and you're feeling a bit stressed or whatever, why not just take time out, go to the gentlemen, go to the ladies and just sit there and have peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. God has given us peace. When we come to Jesus, he gives us direction. When we come to Jesus, he gives us wisdom. You know, it says in that scripture, our sister read it, that is given this revelation to unlearned people. The wise can't get it. But he's given that revelation of his personhood, of the direction that he wants you and I to go. He's given it to us, the unlearned. I left school with no qualifications. None. But let me tell you this, the wisdom of God is all you need in this life. The wisdom of God. He'll give you and he'll give me direction. And it'll stop us. This wisdom and direction will stop us from going round in circles. How many of us have ever been round a roundabout twice because you've missed a turning? Come on. Well, I've been round 3 times. And let me tell you, as you're going round and if it's a pretty big roundabout, you're like, dear me, where's the turn off here? It'll stop us from going round in circles, not just on the roads, on the roundabouts, but in life. Does your life feel like it's going round in circles? I mean, the thing is, when Jesus said that my burden is light, and it'll take that burden off us and give us direction. Back in the day, in Jesus' day, they would have these oxen, and basically they would put a wooden frame across a pair of oxen. And this pair of oxen then would pull this heavy load on this cart or whatever it was pulling, and they'd be pulling. These oxen would be pulling. But you know, if you had one weaker oxen than the other, the tendency was that oxen pair would cause the load to go around in circles. Because one would be pulling in one way and the other would be pulling in another. So it'd be going around in circles. And what a metaphor for you and me. We need Jesus to come and help us with our load. Jesus don't want to free you from your load, because we've got to pick up our cross. We've got to carry our cross, yeah? But what he wants to do is he wants to help you. He wants to become part of your life. So that as you come across this challenging journey that you're on, he wants to help you with that load. And he might not, as I say, he might not take it off you, but he will be with you in it. To have Jesus in on that load. Wow. You know, I've had a bad foot for nearly 2 years. I've had two operations, yeah? And then straight after that, I then got a bad leg. And it was like, what's going on? I'll have to be honest with you, without Jesus in that situation, especially when we're going through health issues, it's tough. But Jesus, he pushes us on. Come on, you get in there. We can do it together. He wants to take your load. He wants to help you with your load and with my load. We got a bird in the house. It's all right, mate. He wants to help us. He wants to help us with our loads. When was the last time you surrendered that struggle? That issue that you're going through? When was the last time that you said, Lord, help me with this load? I can't carry it anymore. Lord, please. God wants to help us. You know, the Bible also talks about that. You know, we talk about these yokes. The Bible also talks about being unequally yoked. That can cause us to go around in circles. You know, it's so important. It says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be yoked with them. You are separated. You are set apart. Now, I know that might be tough. It might be tough because some of us here might actually be yoked to an unbeliever in marriage. Boy, that must be tough. And I know that because in my experience, my own sister was yoked to an unbeliever. I know people who've been yoked to unbelievers, and boy, is that an heavy burden. And that's why God says, and that's why Jesus says in 2 Corinthians, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship as righteousness with unrighteousness. You want to go this way. They want to go that way. were going around in circles. How tough is that? I have to say that my sister went through a nightmare, absolute nightmare. In fact, her husband hated it when we used to meet in the house. And he would show it, he'd slam doors, he'd, you know. It's tough. What communion as light with darkness? We cannot coexist. You and I as Christians, we cannot coexist with this world. Now you might think that's crazy, Peter. We live here. Well, yes, we do. But we're not from here. We're just passing through. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, do not be of the world. Even though you live in it, do not be of it. No coexistence with the sin of this world, with the evil of this world. Do you know, I heard a story. A foreign diplomat went to a foreign country, and as a blessing, the host said to him, look, we want to take you somewhere today. It's very special. And so they took him to this zoo. And it was amazing. And they took him to this big, massive glass enclosure. And he looked and what he saw amazed him. He saw this bear. And this bear was fast asleep. But what he also saw was a lamb in the bear's arms, which was also fast asleep. And the diplomat said, boy, that's different. He says, well, to tell you the truth, he said, we put a new lamb in there every day. No coexistence. You and I, we're living in a world that's full of bears. You know? Yes, we respect the bears. We respect people. We respect religions, but we don't coexist with them. We are born again Christians filled with the Holy Spirit. We follow the way of Jesus. You know, I've said it before, I want to know Jesus, not something that looks like him. I don't want to play games. Christianity is not a game. Christianity is real. And we'll see that when the Lord returns. Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. He'll also give us wisdom and direction. You know, the chief danger, somebody once said this, the chief danger of the 20th century is this. The chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Spirit. The chief danger of the 20th century. Religion without the Holy Spirit. How can we know God without the Holy Spirit? That baffles me. Jesus said to the disciples, wait in Jerusalem till you receive the Holy Spirit. Up to that point, they were weaklings, they were fierce cowards. But when they received the Holy Spirit, they became mighty men of God who did great exploits. A religion without the Holy Spirit. Christianity without Christ. You know that word repentance, which we started with at the beginning? Let me tell you, there's churches who don't want to talk about repentance because they're scared that they'll lose bums on seats. It's too harsh a message. Is that what it's all about? Bums on seats? We'll be tied to the church that has that attitude. Forgiveness without repentance. Salvation without regeneration. You know, when we get saved, we enter a process of change. The Bible says, be renewed in the refreshing of your mind. We enter this process of change. And that is wonderful. Because I need to change. I need to stop going through traffic lights at red. I need to give up drugs. I need to give up gambling. I need that power of alcohol broken in my life. There's nothing wrong with a drink. But I'm talking about the power of drink. That controls your life. Jesus can break that. Jesus broke that in my life. Salvation without generation. Politics without God. Look at what the politicians are facing right now. You know, the economics of this country, all these tax and benefit cuts and this, that and the other. Look at, without God, they're making their own decisions. Look at these wars, the responsibility of these leaders, Trump and Putin. Look at the responsibilities of World War III is at their door. Massive responsibility. We need God in these decisions. Heaven. Heaven without hell. Hell is a real place. And thank God you and I, who know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we're not going there. We're going to heaven. We're going to a party. A party in heaven. You and I are going to be welcomed to the table where there's going to be a mighty celebration. And life, the 20th century is almost like life without miracles. Miracles still take place today. They do. And, you know, they might be, it doesn't have to be a giant miracle where you see limbs growing or whatever. Small miracles, what I call small miracles, everyday miracles. When we wake up, we breathe. When we meet someone and we have a great time, it's a miracle. It's a lovely time. Fellowship is a miracle. Meeting here today is a miracle. You just look at the world out there. There's places where you can't meet together. Miracles are still going on today, and I really do believe in these miracles. They're still happening today. I am not a cessationist. Where people believe that the miracle stopped after Jesus went into heaven. No, miracles still happen today. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me and I'll give you power to break the yoke that's on your life and on my life. I'll give you power. Power to live. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life to the full. What are you struggling with? What are you struggling with in terms of temptation? Jesus can break that chain. We sang it. Break every chain. Is it just a song that we've just sung? Or do we believe in those words? Break every chain. I tell you what, I know he's broke many chains in my life. Many chains. Jesus came to break every chain. Jesus came. He said, come to me and I'll break that chain. He says, come to me and I'll give you truth. Truth. There's so much out there, fake news out there, isn't there? We hear it every day. What is truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. Come to me. And so how do we apply that come to me in our lives? How do we apply it? Well, we can come to Jesus in his presence. We can come to him and spend time with him, as we said earlier on. Let's be serious Christians who want to get real with God by spending time with him. You'll all have a best time. Mine's in the morning. I can get up at 5 o'clock. I can get up at 6 o'clock. I can get up early in the morning. But that doesn't mean to say I can't have a quality time later on. But my best time is first thing in the morning. When's your best time? Spend time with him. Keep in his word. Keep focused. The scripture, there's a scripture in it, in the Bible somewhere. I can't remember where it is, but it says, wake up. Keep your focus. And if we keep reading his word, we'll stay on track. So easy to come off track. So easy to be deceived. Do you know, there's a woman called Paula Durez. She's Brazilian. And she ran the Boston Marathon. And when she finished the race, the stewards were so alarmed, they couldn't believe the time that she'd run. And she didn't look out of breath. They thought, hang on a minute. She's run the marathon. She's knocked off nearly 3/4 of an hour, the world record. How the heck she done that, they're saying. It's a miracle. Until they looked at the CCTV cameras and see she jumped over the fence about 1/2 mile just before the finish. She tried to deceive them. She got caught. Obviously, she didn't get a medal. Keep your focus. Don't be deceived. Fellowshipping with one another. We're all fellowshipping together. It's beautiful. We're fellowshipping. Keep fellowshipping. Avoid the coexisting situations. Stand on God's word in those coexisting situations that you and I face. Be ambassadors. Ambassadors of heaven. Church, God is saying to you today, come to me. Come to me. You are burdened, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you peace, rest, power, and truth. Let's pray.